little overdue, a little late. I'm sorry, but it's never too soon for forum preparations for next year. But essentially, since we dealt with Minion last week, you'll see that it is extremely relevant to the topic that we're going to discuss. Hopefully we'll finish it tonight, and next week I'll talk about women in Kaddish. Okay? Please take one of each. Quite the whole set. A lot of what I want to discuss, we've already discussed in early shiurim, so that's sources. One and two. Sources one and two on the page, this page here. We're not going to do this because we've already done that. Essentially, what sources one and two demonstrate is that women are free from positive commandments, which are time determined. And we spent a lot of time talking about that. Source number three. Please take one of each. Source number three demonstrates a whole bunch of exceptions to the rule, right? And in each case, There's a reason why women are obligated, even though it's a positive commandment, which is time determined. And one of the examples of source number four, which is example is Kiddush, and we discussed this already, that the reason why women are obligated in Kiddush is one of the exceptions because the Torah in the first commandments, the first ten commandments says, Zachor Yom Shabbat Bekashem. The second set of commandments, it says, Shemo. Zachor, the first command means remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day, you keep it holy. And the second commandment is a Shemor, which means guard the Sabbath day. Now, since women are obligated in all thou shalt nots, and all positive commandments are not time determined, it's only from the positive commandments which are time determined that they're free. The Torah says, guard the Sabbath day, that's thou shalt. So women are obligated. But since the Torah equates it with Zachor, which remembers the Sabbath day. And even though the remember is a positive commandment, which is time determined, since the Torah uses the two words interchangeably, essentially, the Torah is equating the two. And since women are obligated in the Shamor and all the negative aspects, the thou shalt not of the Sabbath, so they're also obligated in all the thou shalt of the Sabbath, which includes Kiddush and the rest of the mitzvot. But that's a classic example, even though it's a positive commandment which is time determined, women are obligated because there's a special reason, there's a special limud, there's a special source for it in the text. Then the next question, which we also dealt with, which is source number five, we dealt with this also in previous lessons, which Tesla deals with the question, are women, what about rabbinic commandments? We know that women are free from all positive commandments which are time determined, biblically. What about commandments which are rabbinically? What about commandments which are rabbinically ordained? Do we say that if you play in the rabbi's ballpark, you play by their rules and they can make any rules they want to? Or do we say, no, the rabbis, as a rule, followed the general rubric that the Torah set up. And if the Torah freed women from all positive commandments, which are time determined, so the rabbis, as a rule, also freed women from all positive commandments, which are time determined. And that is indeed the consensus, that the rabbis called takun rabbanan can go into takun. It is whatever the rabbis set up, they used essentially the same rules that the Torah used. However, the rabbis, under certain exceptions, did set up certain exceptions where there was a very important reason. And again, one of the reasons, how did we get into this discussion? We talked about tefillah. We saw that women were obligated in private prayer. Why? Even though it's a positive commandment, which is time determined, because the prayer is certainly set up as that. The rabbi set it up was three times a day. So why are women obligated in private prayer? The answer is the tefillah, the bachamenu. Prayer is a request for mercy, and women need mercy just as men do. So even though it's a positive command which is time determined, the rabbis made an exception because there was a very good reason. Okay, let's now start from source number six. We'll see that there's another whole category of commandments which are time determined and which women are obligated. And these are af hen hayu boto anes. These are examples where women too were involved in the miracle of salvation. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi, source number six. Nashim chayavot v'nir chanukah. Women are obligated to Hanukkah candles, again, even though it's a positive manual, which is time to turn. So why are women obligated? Sha'afein hayu boto anes, because women too were involved in the miracle of Hanukkah. We'll see a discussion of what this exactly means in a moment. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So the same Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi makes a second statement. The first one he made in Shabbat, where the laws of Hanukkah are made. Now this is in the Gemara Pesachim, which are the laws of the Seder are mentioned. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Nashim chayavot ba'ar b'kasot halal. Women are obligated in the four cups of wine of the Seder. Sha'af hein hayu bo tornes. Because they too were involved in the salvation from Egypt. Now in Gemara Megillah we find a third example. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Nashim chayavot b'mikra Megillah. Women are obligated to read the Megillah. Sha'af hein hayu bo tornes. Because they too were involved in the miracle. Ve'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, not only are women obligated to hear the Megillah, but they are obligated to hear the Megillah twice. Chayav adam nikot et ha-Megillah b'layla b'shtota b'yom. An individual is obligated to read the Megillah at night and repeat it during the day. Shenemar Elohai ekra yomam b'lo taneh b'layla b'lo dumiyali t'pas v'tilim, which is Yelet HaShachar, refers to the reading of the Megillah. In any case, one has an obligation of the Megillah at night and during the day. And I just want to reiterate, my daughter came home to me and she said, Abba, you would be surprised how many women are not careful about reading the Megillah twice. And I said, yes, I would be surprised. Halacha is very clear. In fact, he says, everybody goes at night, she says, but a lot of my friends, they're not careful about going in the morning. They get up late, and they don't make any arrangements to get to shul and do the Megillah reading. The halacha is that the Iker Megillah reading, okay, the first, that is, if you're asking me which of the two is the more important mitzvah, it's during the day. That's the more important reading. Not that you're putter from, you have to do both. But as far as the halachic status says, which is the more important, which is the original edict, that was during the day. You think about it, most mitzvahs revolve around houses are during the day. Having them at night is the exception, which is, of course, the foundation of Manishtana Halayla Hazemi Kala Layla, because usually mitzvahs are done during the day, not at night. Right? That's correct. Right. But that's so conceited. It doesn't make sense in my case. But you're right. I'm saying, but if you think about most mitzvahs, sukkah also begins at night. But most mitzvahs, the day is usually the locus for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Okay. So anyway, there's an obligation, says Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the same gentleman who said women are obligated, in the same breath says you're obligated to read day and night. Now, Yerushalmi quotes this halacha about Megillahs a little bit differently, and we'll see why it's important. Bar Kappana Amar, Yerushalmi in the Babylonian, in the Jerusalem Talmud, it said, Bar Kappana Amar said, Sarich likrota lefnei nashim lefnei ktanim, one is obligated to read the Megillah before women and before minors, and this again because generally this was a population that was illiterate at the time, and therefore you had to make sure they had heard it. Women, because they're obligated, and children, why? Because you want to educate them in the importance of the mitzvah, because of persumini, so not that they're obligated. Sha'af otam habu b'sak, they too were in the same doubt. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Abed Kane, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, actually did that way. Now, this is the Rabbi Shua ben Levi that's cited in the Babylonian Talmud. Yerushalmi, he's not the author, but he's the prime example of one who actually did it. Mechanish benoi uvnei veita. He would collect his sons and the members of his household, which is the euphemism for his wife and daughters. The kavile komayon, and he would read before them. Okay. Now, yes.
Are there person who used those of
No. Everybody agrees women are obligated. The question we're going to develop as we go along is to what extent?
To all of these things.
to all these things. Yes, we were obligated to all these things. Okay, now Tosaf deals with an interesting question. What does it mean, Achena Yubotonis? They too were involved in the miracle. So let's look at these in source 7. Achena Yubotonis, Perish Rashbam. Rashbam, which is one of Rashi's grandsons, states, Sha'al Yadan Nigalu, because the miracle occurred through them. And what are the examples? B'schar nashim tzidkaniyot shayu b'otodo nigalu. The Gemara in Sota states that because of the righteous women, Jews were redeemed from Egypt. And what does that mean? We know that in Egypt, because of the enslavement and because the children were being thrown into the Yor, the Medrash tells us that they stopped having sex relations. The men refrained, have had sex relations with life. In fact, the Medrash suggests that the men didn't come home. They didn't come home. And there's an interesting phenomenon, I mentioned it to somebody, Shabbat Gadol Shirim in several cases, that we know that in the South, that the black slaves were not having relations with their wives either. They said, why bring a child into the world? One of the reasons why the white master slept with the women slaves was not just because of lust. It was because they wanted to bring more slaves into the world. Anyway, because the slave population was decreasing, there were a lot of studies on what was going on in the South. Anyway, so the Gemara Medrash says that the Jewish women who had faith that they would eventually be redeemed from Egypt and said, look, if we don't sleep with our husbands, there's not going to be a nation to take out. So it says that they went out and they literally seduced their husbands. They took them and they went and really got themselves all fancied up. The apple tree and the blossoms, and says they seduced their husbands. And result that they, because of these righteous women who had faith that God was going to take them out of Egypt, that there was a nation to take out. So that's what the Midrash said. So you see that the miracle of redemption was through their hand. The chen b'megillah yida Esther, so continues the Rashbam. And because the Megillah is also through Esther. U'bechana kanuk ayida Yehudit. We have a tradition that because Yehudit essentially seduced all the Holofernes and chopped off his head, that the miracle of Hanukkah, the Maccabim were able to win over the Yevanim, the Syrian Greeks. So you see that what is, how does he learn Pshat on the Rashbam? That the reason why women were obligated is because they were the center of the miracle. How could you not obligate them? Let me just reiterate how the Rashbam learns. He says that essentially the women should have been free. Why should the woman have been free? Because a positive command, which is time determined rabbinically. But how could you free them if the whole miracle was brought about by them? They're the center of the miracle. That's how Rashbam is learning the Gemara. Right?
You can say that about every mitzvah, because we're an integral part of Klal Yisrael. So we're an
No. That's not because in these three cases, the miracle came through them. They were the pivot about which the miracle is centered. If it weren't for them, this miracle wouldn't have occurred. Not they're just part of Klal, because you'll see that's exactly how Tosafot is going to learn. Tosafot is going to learn about, like, just like you say. The Rashbam learns to know that they're the pivot of the miracle. Let's continue. The Kashe says Tosafot, I can't accept Rashbam's interpretation. The af mashma sheinanika. Because they too were involved in the miracle. Right? What does it say? They should be Sha'af Hein Hayubotonis. Because they too were involved in the miracle. What should it say? Sha'ein Hayubotonis. They were the miracle. Or Sha'ein Hayubotonis. Or some language, but not. Like, even they. What is it like even? What does the Af imply? They too were involved. The Ode, says the Tosafot. Dibi Yerushalmi in Yerushalmi, which we read by Kapara, Gavis, it says, Sha'af Hein Hayu Boto Safek. They two in the same doubt. Mashma Sveka de Lashmid Ulaharog Ulaveh. It sounds that they were, their life too was on the line. That's what it means. They too are in danger. They too are part of Klal Yisrael that was redeemed. They too have reason to give praise. That's a very different argument than saying, you know, they're part, like what you say, they're part of Klal Yisrael, and how can you take, steal them from part of the, there's a miracle that you praise, so they do have to get praise. That's how That's how the Tosafot learns Pshat. Okay? So that essentially what Tosafot is saying, that normally they should have been free because the Pasuk and average time determined. But since they too were involved in the salvation of Klal Yisrael, and this is a special reason to give praise, then they too should give praise and celebrate the holiday. Okay. Now, one of the fundamental questions that we have to ask ourselves is as follows. Women really should have been free from these positive conventions of time determined, but there was a reason to make them obligated. Well, to what extent are we going to obligate? One could argue that if there is a possibility of somehow splitting the obligation, if it were possible, then women should be obligated minimally. Why? Because they really should have been obligated at all. It's a Pasuk commandment, just time to turn it. But all right, okay, so we have a good reason to obligate them, so we'll obligate them minimally. Okay, that's one position. The other position should, now what? The other second position states, no, if you're gonna obligate them for the same reason as men, you obligate them equally with men. You don't make any distinctions. Either obligated or not obligated. What type of distinctions are we going to make? Yeah.
Why is that relevant for a woman being motzi a woman?
Did I say anything about that?
Oh,
why are you jumping ahead? The answer is that it should not be relevant. But you think too fast. I've told you that once before. No. So the fact of the matter is, that the distinction, this type of distinction, let's see if it works out. Let's see if it works out. By drinking arba kosa. Is there any way I can split the mitzvah? No, I mean the mitzvah is to drink.
So
either drink or you drink. The mitzvah should be gufo. It's not as if I can sit there watching other people drink. It's a mitzvah shubha. I gotta drink. I gotta feel like a king. I gotta feel chayruch. I gotta drink. It's a mitzvah in my body. So it does apply to arba kosa. What about lighting Hanukkah lich? Okay, the mitzvah is to light Hanukkah lich. So if you light, or somebody else light for you, but that's your lighting. The truth of the matter is the mitzvah is on the house. It's not on anything. So somebody in the house has to light, but he's lighting the mitzvah to light. So. By Mikra Megillah, however, one could theoretically argue, and I'm going to raise in third because somebody does argue, that there's a way of splitting the mitzvah. If I'm only there because of presuming Nisa, if I'm only there, the whole purpose of reading Megillah is to glorify the miracle, maybe there's some way of splitting it up. That somehow one has a maximum obligation to read, actually, to read the Megillah, and women would have a minimal obligation just to hear the Megillah. But they have no maximal obligation to read the Megillah. Now, one could argue, I don't understand such a distinction. What do you mean the distinction between hearing the Megillah and reading the Megillah? I mean, how do I hear the Megillah if I don't read the Megillah? If Chazal obligated me to hear the Megillah, they're obligating me to read the Megillah. I mean, how do Chazal obligate me to hear the shofar? I hear the shofar by blowing the shofar, right? I mean, it comes together. I mean, it's not possible to obligate me to hear the Megillah and then not being able to read the Megillah. I mean, the distinction seems almost to be a false distinction, but as we're going to see, there's those who actually make that distinction or as we go through. But anyways, at least as a hypothesis, as a construct, I understand where it's coming from. I understand where they're processed. Women really should have been freed. I mean, give them a minimal obligation, however I divide the minimal obligation. Okay, that's in theory. Let's now see how the post can actually, let's learn the sources and see where if such a distinction exists, where it comes from. Source number 8. It's a Mishnah in Erechim. The Mishnah says as follows. Hakol k'sherin l'kot et ha-Megillah. All are obligated to read the Megillah. That's what the Mishnah says. Now comes the Gemara and says, Latuye Mai. Everyone is obligated, to include whom? Why is the everyone? What's this grand generalization? Latuye Mai, to include whom? Latuye Nashim, to include women. כדאמר, או כדרב ישוע בן לוי, רק רב ישוע בן לוי said, דאמר רב ישוע בן לוי, נשים חייבות במקרא מגילה. Women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah, and the way the Gemara understands it in Gemara Erechim, the Mishnah, when it says, all are, can read the Megillah, right? All can read the Megillah, it comes to mean that what? To include women. That women too can read the Megillah. Now, what is it? What is simple interpretation of all can read, all are kosher to read the Megillah? Why do you have to tell me that all are kosher to read the Megillah?
Physically read the
Megillah? Yeah. But what would that be of relevance?
To be motzi.
To be motzi somebody else. To be motzi somebody else. If I and the rules are, if I'm obligated, I can be motzi anybody else is obligated. Right? A kosher, the kosher Megillah, I can be motzi anyone else. Okay, let's now look at source 9. Now the Halakha Gedolot doesn't say that. The Halakha Gedolot, the Baal Halakha Gedolot, was in the Gaonic period, and he writes, Gaonic period is before the Rishonim, before the millennium, turn of millennium, and he writes as follows, Nashim Vavadim Uktanim, women, non-Jewish slaves, and minors, and each for a different reason, we've discussed in many, many occasions, Pturin mikriyat Megillah are freed from the obligation of reading the Megillah. Ela shechayavim b'mishma, but they're obligated to hear the Megillah. Hoil v'kol hayu b'svika, since everyone was in the danger. Hakol chayavim b'mishma, they're all obligated to hear the Megillah. Okay. Now, there seems to be a clear contradiction here, and it's not very clear. The Baal Halakha Gedolot was a great scholar, but he can't disagree with the Mishnah. The Mishnah clearly states that women are obligated to read the Megillah. What is he coming along and saying? Women are free from reading, they got to hear. Okay, we'll have to work, we're going to work on this. Don't just hang in there. But it's very clear that the simple interpretation of the Baal Halakha Gedolot is that what? There's this split, right? There's this reading-hearing split. Men are obligated in the reading, women are obligated in the hearing. Fine, let's look at source number 10.
According to that, so she can't read for herself because
they don't say, no, we don't say anything like that. It doesn't say
no, because she's patur from
it says, reading. It says, well, the question, hold on, let's see what that means. What it means, what it means is that she has a lesser obligation. Okay? She has a lesser obligation. That's at source number 10. Nashim chayavot b'mikra Megillah. Women, now this is reading the Rush. The Rush is in the 1300s. Nashim chayavot b'mikra Megillah, in the 1200s, 1300s. Women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah. Okay, that's what it says, by the way, in Gemara Megillah. Gemara Megillah also says women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah. Lashon Mikra Megillah, mashma, from the language of the Gemara in Megillah, which states that women are obligated to read the Megillah, the language of reading the Megillah, mashma, implies shicholot likrota, that the women can read it, ulhotzi anashim yedecho batana, can read it, and be motzi men. Well, why? What else did it say? You're obligated to read the Megillah. V'amina nami b'resh erchin. The Gemara also says in the Mishnah in Erchin, kol kshirin likrot et haMegillah. Everyone is obligated to read the Megillah. Everyone is kosher to read the Megillah. Latui nation to include women. Mashma, what does that imply? Shemar ben nashim af likrota ulotzi anashim. V'chein perish vashi. What does it mean you're kosher to read the Megillah? For whom? For yourself? Of course you can read the Megillah for yourself. Who are you talking about? To militzi anybody else, including men. The Chaim Perash Rashi, that's what Rashi says. In fact, that's the view of nearly all the Sephardi posts. That women who read Megillah are obligated equally with men. There is no split, there's no split in obligation. Women can read for men. Rashi and Rambam and many, many other posts. Okay?
When you say everyone's obligated to read, is it not one person reads and everyone follows? Or does each person actually have to read?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because as we read the Megillah, as we hear the person reading the Megillah, that we have Shomea Ka'oneh, we have the person, et cetera, essentially our messenger. Shomea Ka'oneh essentially means he's reading the Megillah, I hear attentively, it's as if I'm reading from the Megillah.
So it's actually it's about the same thing, hearing and reading, because mm-hmm. once the other person is reading and you're hearing, it's...
Yes, but it may be slightly different. Just be patient.
Okay,
well... Let's go. We'll see. Ubal halachot pasach. Now, that's the Russians. That's a simple interpretation of the text. But I have a problem. Bal halachot pasach. The bal halachot seems to disagree with this interpretation. Shanashim enan chayavod al b'shmiyah. The women are only obligated in hearing. Abal kriyata, but reading it enan motzia anashim yedei chovetan. They can't help men fulfill their obligation. Who are obligated in the greater obligation, the maximum obligation of reading, and men can only fulfill their obligation if they hear from men who do have the same the maximum obligation. And their men's hearing the Megillah from women is not good enough as if they themselves are reading. Let me explain to you the problem. Now we know, and this is a very important point, we have already talked about this many times, that if you're not obligated in something, you can't help somebody else do obligations. You can't help somebody else fulfill their obligation. Okay? The obligation of a revolt or reading or doing an obligation for somebody else implies that you are obligated as that the other person. Now, the problem here is that women are obligated. Everybody agrees that women are obligated in the Megillah. But comes the rush and says, yeah, but they're not obligated to the same level that the men are obligated. So it's effectively, as far as the men are concerned, it's almost as if they're not obligated at all because the women can't read the Megillah for the men. They don't have the same obligation. Their reading only works up to their level of obligation. It doesn't work up to the men's maximal obligation. Now, for the time being, let's suspend what exactly the minimal and the maximal obligation are. Let's just get the idea that whatever the Baal Halacha of Gedolah means, he's clearly saying men have a greater obligation than the women. And therefore, women can't read for the men. Okay? Now, and so what forced the Baal Halacha of Gedolah to make such a distinction? That the men somehow the women have a lesser obligation than the men? They brought the proof from a Tosefta. Now, Tosefta is literature, we talked about this, written around the same time, edited around the same time as the Mishnah, but it was edited slightly after Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and brings in a variety of other views that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi didn't bring, or explicates upon the view, the Mishnah, expands the Mishnah. And what does the Tosefta say? Tumtum Vandrognus, okay. Tumtum is one who we don't know is male or female, because the genitals are covered with a flap of skin. Nowadays, you'd simply do an operation and remove the flap and expose the genitals, and you'll know whether they're male or female. But at the time of the Mishnah, this was not possible. And tumtum and androgynous, there was a urethra, you could not tell whether they're male or female. Okay, that's tumtum.
When they're young.
What?
When they're young.
Well, you know, I don't know. I imagine until they're older too.
Well, when they have beards, you can't tell either. I mean, there are other manifestations.
No, that's something else. That's androgynous. That's androgynous. We'll come back in a second. Androgynous. Okay, androgynous is one who has both male and female. Okay, genitalia. Okay, so tumtum is you don't know whether he's it's what. You don't know whether it's male or female. Vandrogonos is male and female, and they're considered a min bifnei atzman. They're considered an entity unto itself. Chayavim are obligated to read the Megillah. Ve'ein motzin et rabim yidei chovatan. But they cannot help the community. They cannot read for the community. So now let's think about this. Balalama Wagdala wants to prove in this Tosefta that women can't read, right, for the community. Can't read for other men. How does he prove? He says, well, look, androgynous can't, Mishnah Tosefta says that androgynous can't read for the community. Okay, androgynous, I understand. Androgynous is neither male nor female, and maybe it could be less than a female. Right? We don't know what it is. Less, even a lesser obligation than a female. We don't know what it is. It could be a min b'fnei. However, a tumtum is either male or female. Except we don't know. Now, if a woman could read for a man, so why couldn't a tumtum read? Because the tumtum is either male or female. So if it's male, it can read. If it's female, but female can read. So you must say, proof from here, says that a woman cannot read for the community. I keep reiterating and just file away, cannot read for the community. Keep saying this, and we'll come back to this point.
What happens if someone knows it by heart? He has to read it?
Yes, must read from the Talmud. You cannot read from the Talmud. The tzarich, the Tanets, and we must, okay, now, so wait a second. So that's what forced the Baal Halakh Gdolot to say there is some fundamental distinction. You see, it says that the woman can't read for the community. It must mean that they have a lesser obligation. So now what are we going to do with the Mishnah? The Mishnah in Erchin said what? Hakok, Sherin, Limikra, Megillah. Everyone can read the Megillah. We said it means to include women. Tzarich l'taretz l'fi Halakh Gdolot v'tosefta. That which it says in Erchin, Hakol Kshirim Likrot, that two Yenashim include women. So he says, Chol Balach Gudot, we have as follows. Lo Shiutziu Anashim Bikriyatam. We're going to be forced into a position of saying, not that the women, that the women can read, are kosher to read for men. They can't because they have a lesser obligation. And the Dafka Nashim Shisham Mutziyah Chavertah, that a woman can read for another woman. You can read for them. Right? So now we have, for the first time, we have now a split between two groups of Rishonim. The Rosh quoting Rashi and a whole slew of others, which I tell you are the Svardi Poskim, maintain there's no distinction between the obligation between men and women. And once the rabbis came along and said, women are obligated in Mikra Megillah, reading the Megillah, because Avafei Nayin Bodones, they're obligated to the women just like the men. And therefore, a woman can read for men. And according to the Baal Halakha Gedolot, and we're going to see as it develops that this is the view that the Ashkenazi poskim are concerned with. They're worried about this position, and they take it into halakhic consideration. States that no, women have a lesser obligation than men. The Mishnah says women can read the Megillah. It means to read the Megillah for other women. So now, we've read one interpretation in the Baal Halakha Gedolot. Now you'll see why I'm spending a lot of time with it. If you give me a few more minutes and just be patient, you'll see why it becomes crucial to understand what the Baal Halakha Gedolot said. So the Rosh, in interpreting the Baal Halakha Gedolot, says, why the Baal Halakha Gedolot say women can't read for men? Because women have a lesser obligation. Let's read source number 11. The Tosavot has a total different interpretation. So this is a total different interpretation. Tosafot in source 11, you see halfway down in the bracket, there's a problem in the text. And we'll skip to the left. You see in the margin, there's a little text there. We're going to skip to that in a second. But let me explain to you what the Tosafot is dealing with. Tosafot is struggling with the question, women are obligated to bench. Like, men are obligated to say, Birkat HaMazon. Say the grace after this. The question is their obligation equal to that of men? Is the obligation of the Birkat HaMazon equal? Why would you say perhaps not? The answer is because there are certain elements mentioned in the Birkat HaMazon which are not directly applicable to women. Why is it a britka shechatamta b'tzareinu? We mentioned this before. Because it mentions circumcision, it mentions inheritance of the land, obligation of the Torah. Now, all these things, and may or may not be applicable equally to women. And therefore, there are those who have the view who says, no, the text is not referring to women's dress. It's referring to Klal Yisrael. It makes no difference. That woman can say that. And if we're part of God's army, they can say it too. And others say, no. Women, since they can't mention these are not directly relevant to them, their obligation in Birkat HaMazon is a lesser obligation. Those are the two views. The halacha we pass on the women, of course, are obligated like men. Yes.
When we say Birkat HaMazon, and we say, isn't that a sign of identifying Klal Yisrael?
Yes, that's exactly what the Meiri says. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's one view. It's not talking about women personally, that's talking about the women can say it too because it's referring to Klal Yisrael. Yes.
A britcha.
It's a covenant. You've got to be Klal Yisrael.
We agree.
Not only that, as I mentioned on several occasions, the halakha doesn't say use women as circumcised. It has all sorts of ramifications for eating korban pesach and the like. You have to be circumcised. The halakha says nashi kamandam yiladam yet. That the women are considered circumcised. They're part of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's not that they don't need circumcision. Halakha views them as circumcised. Okay, so it has
identification.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing. Okay, let's continue. Let's see what the Tosfos says. The Tosfos wants to ask into this question, do women have the same obligation as men with regard to Birkat HaMazon? Ubetosefta Ktani, okay, let's look in that section. Ubetosefta Ktani, and the Tosefted states, oh, by the way, I just before we get to this, how does Rashi, and by the way, Rabbi Nissim and other Rishonim learn the Tosefta? I mean, those posts Rishonim that say what? That say the women are obligated equally to men. What do they do with the Tosefta, Tumtum and Androgynous? How do they understand? Why can't a Tumtum read for the community? Right? You know, you follow, hello?
They say it's a special case. No,
they say it's a machlokes. They say the Mishnah disagrees with the Tosefta. And every time, it's not the first time the Mishnah disagrees with the Tosefta. And whenever the Mishnah disagrees with the Tosefta, you pass like the Mishnah. No question. So they say the Tumtum Mishnah. The Baal Halacha Gedolah doesn't want there to be machloket. So he forces an unnatural pshat in the Mishnah. The other Rishonim said, what are you doing? Don't force a natural pshat. There's a machloket between the Tosefta and the Mishnah. The Mishnah says women read, are obligated equally, and the Tosefta says nothing. We disagree. That's all. And we pass like the Mishnah. But the Baal Halacha Gedolah doesn't want to do that. Okay, let's go back now to the source of Uba Tosefta Ktani, the Tosefta states, Gabi Birkat HaMazon, by mention, the ain't isha ve'eved u'katan motzin et harabim yidei chubatan. Again, a similar sort of similarity by the Mikra Megillah. That women cannot say Birkat HaMazon for the community. The ikal man, you can set it up. The kisha'achal shiur ha'daraita, that both the women and the community ate the same amount. That is, you have to understand that the Torah says, v'achalta v'savata uveirachta. And in order to be biblically obligated, it has to be, before uvirachta, it has to be vachata v'savata. So you could say maybe the distinction, talking about a case where a woman didn't eat her full, and the woman did, that's what. He says, no. Simple interpretation is what? She ate her full, the men ate their full, and the Mishnah says, the Tosefta says, the woman can't bench. V'ein yachol ledachtik mikam, and they can't prove from here, he says. Now skip over to the side of the margin. V'ein yachol ledachtik mikam, you cannot prove from here that the fact the women can't read for the men must mean the what? That therefore they have a lesser obligation than the men. Maybe women are obligated just like men biblically. Ella, let's skip to the bracket of two lines from the bottom. 11. Inami mishum derabim zila behu milta. It's because a whole different concept. This is a tznius concept. This is Pashas, the Tosefta says, you know why women should read? It's not proper. Mishum derabim zilabu milta, it's improper that a woman should get up and read the Megillah for the community. And I'll prove it to you that that's the reason, says. Dahare Megillah de Nashim Chayavah, because the Megillah, women are obligated in it. Uperish Baal Halacha Gedolah, and the Baal Halacha Gedolah the Bahad states, De'in nashin motziot harabim yidei chovatam b'megillah, and nevertheless the Baal Halacha Gedolot says, the women can't read for the community. Why can't they read for the community? It's not because they're not obligated equally with men. They are obligated equally with men. But they shouldn't read for the community. They shouldn't get up and read the Megillah because it's a tzniut concept, because of the zila mildred. It's improper.
But it's not what the
halachah
says.
Okay, let's go back.
It's not what it says.
So let's read the halachah gedolah. How he's going to reinterpret? First of all, the Tosaf is not responsible. There can be varying readings of the halachah gedolah. But essentially, how he understands is the chayav the mishma means they're obligated in the Megillah, but they're obligated they hear. They take a back seat. The men get up and they read. And the women are obligated, they listen. But not because their obligation in the Megillah is any different. Obligation is the same. It has to do with the sneer castle of zeal and milk. It's improper that a woman should get up and read for the community at large.
No, but he's clearly talking about obligations. He talks about why. Their lives were all equally in danger.
You have to hear the Megillah. But they don't read it, he says, because of Zila Milta. That's how the Tosan understands the Malach Megillah. Okay, so we have now a split. We have a clear split in how to interpret the Malach Megillah. One says that the Malach Megillah means the women have a lesser obligation. Tosan says, no, they have no lesser obligation. It's just a pasnish argument. It's not proper that women should get up in the community and lead the whole community and with all eyes upon it. Okay, now here comes the crunch. Source number 12, the Korban Netanel. The Korban Netanel wants to say that there's no machloket between the Rosh's interpretation and the Tosa's interpretation of the Balaam. He wants to say that they're talking about two different cases. And we'll see what he does. He's going to use a very, very fancy footnote. Okay? He's going to essentially say there's no machloket between the two. Look at, now, the Korban Netanel is a commentary on the Rosh, on the Rabbeinu Asher. And then look at the first line, Ve'en shmiyata minashim chashuva ki'ilu hen atzman korin. Okay, men. Are you with me? Okay, now we're going to get into real nitty-gritty. Because this is really the first major problem with women's Megillah. And the fact that men hear from women is not good enough. The le'inyan kriya lo'tzi anashim havi ki eino mechuya b'davah. Because as far as the men are concerned, the women are considered not obligated because they're not obligated to the level that the men are. Okay? So therefore, women, according to this, cannot read for the men. Da'nashim ena mitzuvin el lishmoa. V'chol shen emechuyav v'davar, if you're not obligated even to the same level of ma'alik, ein motzin rabim yiduch ha'vanay. You can't be motzi others who have a greater obligation. U'bezeh mituratz mashihik shehabak. And based on this, we can now understand respond to the box question, Baruch Haim Simon Reish Ayin Aleph. And when we ask in Baruch Haim Simon Reish Ayin with laws of Kiddush, the box says, I don't understand. How come the Shulchan Aruch Paskins? Right? How come the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that women can make Kiddush for men? That's on the books, and we'll discuss it. Could make Kiddush for men, and yet the Shulchan Aruch, as you can see, brings a minority view that women can't read the Megillah for men. How come? I don't understand. Women are obligated. I don't understand. So answers the Korban Netanel, of course there's a difference. By Kiddush, men and women have the same obligation. So therefore, women can make Kiddush for men. But by Megillah, women have a lesser obligation. And that's the minority view that the Shulchan Aruch was referring to. Since women have a lesser obligation, they can't read for men. Now, that not continue. So that's an important point. We'll come back to it in a later discussion. Umashikatav Tosot the Sukkadav Lamed Kayet. That which the Tosot writes about Inami Mishum de Rabim, because we're dealing with a community, Zila Milta, it's improper. Zila Bu Milta, it's improper. Dare Megillah Noshim Chayavodba, women are obligated. Uperish b'hag day nashim metziot l'rabim yidechu v'tam b'gila. And since it's improper, women can't read for the community the Megillah. Okay, so he says, now notice, he's now dealing with the Tosaf. I told you, how did I interpret you, the Tosaf? Tosaf disagrees with the Rush. Tosaf has a different interpretation. That women are really obligated equally and can't read because it's a pasnish, because it's a sneers concept. He says, what does he say? He says, what do you mean? That contradicts what we just said in Source 10. How's that possible? We just said, what is this? What is this? It's improper because Zila Milta, it's a sneer concept. We just said women can't read for men for what reason? Because they have lesser obligation as in Source 10. See, he is a contradiction. Now, he doesn't say it's a machloket. He wants to resolve it. So how does he resolve it? Hainu she'en isha motziya nashim rabot yidei chovata. That women can't read for other women, many women. Mishun dezila ba'amilta. It's improper. Shabbat, that one woman should get up in front of hundreds of women, or 20 women, 30 women, and read. She shouldn't take this public role. Aval hotziyan nashim to be motzi men, but lavachi ein motziyan. Afilu isha leish echad de ein mechuyavim for them because they're not obligated the way men are. Right? Nuchim medaber havi. Udelo kamoshi katab amagunai. Not the way the Magen Avraham wrote. Now, what does he mean? He says the Kabbalah says, I admit that the Magen Avraham learns 10 and 11, two sources of the machloket. But I don't want to learn that way, the Magen Avraham. I want to say, I want to resolve it. So what is it referring to in source number 10? When we say that women can't read for men, that's right. Women can't read for men because women have a lesser obligation. In source 11, when he says, the Tosefta says that women can't read for the community because pasnish, because of the sneer concept, that's not talking about women reading for men. Women can't read for men, they have a lesser obligation. What does it mean that shouldn't read for the community? For a community of women. Zila b'milta improper to read for a community of women. That's how he wants to interpret this machloket between the Tosfot and the Rosh. There is no machloket. So he's interpreting as zila. So he must admit that women can read for other women. So what does he mean? He can't read for the community. It's a community of women. How much is a community of women? 5, 6. But 2, 3. I mean, I can't give you numbers. But if it's a small number, she certainly can. If it's a large number, like 150 women, you can't do it. Start according to the Kabbalah of Netanya. But he's wrong. Because Zila Bahu Milta, it's a tzniut concept, but it doesn't apply from women to women. Clearly applies women to men. How do I know? The Tosafot that we have on the page, you have to understand, look, when the printing press came around in the 1600s, and they started printing the Gemaras, they had a manuscript of Rashi. The Tosfot, which Rashi wrote and edited, was sent. He's called Hakuntras because he sent it out in pamphlets. And when the Tosfot is a collection of Tosfot that was passed down from generation to generation, these are started with the grandsons of Rashi, and the collection of Tosfot that we have is called the Tosfot Tuch. It came from this school called the Tuch School. And that's what was generally printed on the Gemara. But we now have, based on the Cairo Geniza, we now know that there are other traditions of Tosfot, which have changes of words, additional answers, which were learned in other schools. We have the Tosfot as the Rush learned. Remember, Karban Natan is interpreting the Rush. So when the Rush learned the Tosfot, when he saw Zila Milta, what did the Rush say? What did he see? Well, let's look at source 11, 13. Inami, okay, this is the same interpretation. Inami, zila behu milta. It's improper. Ba'anashim shiyotziyam nashim. That women should be motzi men. That men should be filled by women. So we know what the Rush thought. The Karban Netanya can't tell me what the Rush says, because I know what the Rush says. Right? He can't give me a false pshat. The Rush clearly holds that the Tosos disagrees. It has a different pshat. The Zila Behu Milta means women for men. But women can read for women. Okay? Inami zilbo milta ba'anashim sheyotzim nashim. Besides, there are a whole bunch of other Rishonim who say similar things and don't say what the Kavanah Tana says. Okay. So that's the first major problem, the Kavanah Tana. Now let's move to the halacha. Turn to this. This is a page of the Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim, which deals with, and we're starting at the top, Tafresh Pei Tet, 689. Okay, this is section 689 of the Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim, dealing with what? Shakol Chaim and Bekret, and Gila, that all are obligated. Now, the bold print is Rabbi Yosef Karo, okay, and the cursive, the Rashi script, is Rav Moshe Isserlish. Rabbi Yosef Karo represents the Sephardi Pesach, and Rav Moshe Isserlish represents the Ashkenazi Pesach. And as we mentioned under another occasion, one of the fundamental differences, innovations of the Shulchan Aruch, that is everybody at this point in history, Ashkenazi, until this point, posting passing for Klal Yisrael, right? From this point on, Ashkenazim and Svardim agree to disagree. Right? And Ashkenazim will now passing for Ashkenazim and for Svardim differently. That's one of the major agreements that occurred, and it saved Klal Yisrael because now everybody can learn the same book. Right? Now, this edition of the Shulchan Aruch is called the Mishnah Brura edition. It was edited by the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim, in addition to having written a book on Shmirat HaLashon, and okay, watching your tongue and what you say, also wrote a major halachic work called the Mishnah Brura, in which it's a running commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. It was written around the end of the 1860s. He has the Mishnah Brura, which is the running commentary. The Be'u Halacha goes into particular points in greater detail. And the bottom is the Shar Tzion, which is what we would call footnotes and references. And very often some of the most interesting things, as you know, are in the footnotes. Right? So, we're going to read his discussion, how he brings the Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, how he brings the Halacha. Let's continue. Hakol chayavim b'kriyata, anashim v'nashim gerim v'avadim shucharim, u'mechanchim et haktanim v'krota. Okay, so the first paragraph one states, says Rabbi Yosef Karo, all are obligated reading the Megillah, men, women, converts, avadim, slaves that were freed, because now they're freemen, u'mechanchim et haktanim v'krota, and we educate minors to read. So this, that's why you bring your kids to shul, right? Not so that they should have a good time, but so that they should identify with Klal Yisrael, be part of the Persumei Nisa. Echon HaKorei, now section 2, paragraph 2, I'm sorry. Echon HaKorei, v'echad HaShomea min HaKorei, one who reads himself or herself, v'echad HaShomea min HaKorei, and hears from one who reads, Yetzai Yedei Chovato, fulfills their obligation. V'hush yishma mipi mishu chayav b'kriyata. Provided you're hearing from someone who's obligated. And who is obligated? That was already covered in section 1. Men, women, children, covered, right? So far until now, can women read for men? Yeah, of course. They're obligated, they can read. V'fichach im haya hakorei cheresh. If it was a deaf mute, and we talked about this also, deaf mute means one who cannot communicate. In their time they couldn't communicate. O katan, o a minor, o shote, or someone who is insane, or is considered a fool. Hashomea mimenu lo yetza. He who hears from them does not fulfill the obligation. Now, v'yesh omrim, okay, we're in the middle of the fourth line. V'yesh omrim, and some say, shanashim inan motziot et anashim. Women cannot be motzi the men. Okay, which view is this? This view is the Baal Halachot Gedolot as understood by the Tosafot. We'll see why in a second. Okay, this is the Baal Halachot Gedolot of the Tosafot. That's not going to be Haggah. Continue. Now this Haggah means the addition of the Ramah. ve'yen shomrim. And there are those who say even more. Im ha'isha kara la'atzma, if a woman reads for herself, mevarechet lishmoa megillah, she makes a different bracha to hear the megillah. She'ena chayebet b'kriyata, that she's not obligated in kriyata. Who's this? This is the Baal Halachot Gedolot, as understood by the Rosh. Now the Ramah represents the Ashkenazic view. Ashkenazic view. So you see that as far as the Ashkenazic view is concerned, we take in consideration the view of the view of the Baal Halachot Gedolot, and therefore women can't read for men because they have a lesser obligation. Now to that, according to the Ramah, they even make a different bracha. They have a different obligation. They say make a different bracha. Okay. Now, first of all, we have three, in the Shulchan Aruch, we have two views. Women can read for men. Second view, some say women can't read. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Says Rabbi Yosef, wherever you have the halacha brought, stam, without any attribution, and then comes the statement, and some say, you're always passing like the first view in the Shulchan Aruch. So Svardim will paskin in Rabbi Yosef Karo, that women can read for men. And in fact, Avadi Yosef says that that's the halacha. But since there's a dissenting view, if they want to be machmer, you should be machmer. Okay? Now, how do the Ashkenazim paskin? Since Rav Moshe Isserlish always, when he disagrees, he's bringing in a view that differs. He always begins V'yeh Shomrim. That's his view, or that's the view that we have to be concerned with as Ashkenazim. Okay? V'yeh Shomrim is Ashkenazim. Those of us who are Ashkenazim, in that the women cannot read for men. Okay. Let's now read the Mishnah Berurah at the bottom. Zayin in the Mishnah Berurah. Now, this Zayin in the Mishnah Berurah refers to, we said that if you hear from a minor or from a deaf person, you're not yotzei. Okay? Then it says, V'yeshomrim, okay, Zayin, that's the end of the fourth line, V'yeshomrim shanashim enan motziot. The women cannot be motzi men. So he says, V'lo domi l'ner Hanukkah. And Megillah reading is different than Hanukkah candles because a woman can light Hanukkah candles for her husband and motzi all the members of her household. And that too is because of Afeinu Yivoto Anes. For the same reason, why should we make a distinction here? The shiny Megillah, because Megillah is different. The Havi Kamo Kriyata Torah is because it's like the reading of the Torah. Upsula Mipnei Kavona Tzibur, because Megillah is done in public. Okay, it's done in the community, and just as it is improper for a woman to read the Megillah in the Kriyat HaTorah because of the honor of the community, so too, by Megillah, they've set up a similar construct. Now, okay, that's a very good question. Please do not force me to explain it now. I'm not ducking you. When we talk about Kriyat HaTorah, and we will talk about it, because we have to get back to Tefillah, okay, I will talk to you a great length what Kavanat Tzibur means. Okay? But it doesn't, I mean, here it says that since reading of the Megillah is like Kriyat HaTorah, just as they said a woman shouldn't read because the honor of the community by Kriyat HaTorah, so they too said they shouldn't read for that. Now, you have to understand a very important point. That is, what's the halacha? If there's an okay, just be careful how you quote me on this, but the halacha is very clear. Suppose a woman gets up and there's no man who knows how to read the Torah. Okay? No man knows how to read the Torah. And the only one who knows how to read the Torah is a woman. And she gets up and reads the Torah. Is the community fulfills obligation? The answer is yes. Because Kavanat Tzibur is a lachatchila din, so it's preferable. And we'll see why. And we're going to talk about it great length. That's right. The Chazal, this is a specific exception the Chazal made to the general rule. It was done consciously because of illiteracy. There was such rampant illiteracy that Chazal said, we're going to set up this Kriyat HaTorah institution, not one aliyah, seven aliyah. Moshe Rabbeinu set up one, we're going to set up seven. But we know that there's such rampant illiteracy that there may not be enough people to be able to read. So we'll allow women to read. They shouldn't because they're really not obligated, but if there's nobody else, they can read. Okay?
But if they're not obligated,
because Chazal, okay. the Chazal said the rules you play Chazal's ballpark, you know. They make the rules, okay? So, and they took this into consideration. It's one of the rare exceptions where one who is not obligated. And the question is, what are they actually doing? So one says, you're not, there's no, the way they analyze it to get around this problem is that Chazal set it up not as a communal obligation. The person who reads is reading for himself. Every person gets up and reads for himself. It's not that the community. Community has an obligation to make sure there's a Kriyat Torah, but every person who gets up reads for himself. Okay? I don't want to go into that. Let's continue. V'yei Shomrim. I just want to impress you that I'm really prepared to discuss it. V'lachen. Okay, now he goes on and says something a little more dramatic. Okay? V'lachen afilu liyachid enam motziyah. Mishum lo pluk. And then he says something that not everybody agrees with. That says the Mishnah Berurah, since the Chazal said she couldn't read for the community, they made no distinction and they said they couldn't read even for the individual. That's not clear. That's not clear at all. Some Rishonim say it. It's not clear that that's the halacha. Okay, but let's go on. V'gam de'efshar she'isha ena chayevet b'kriya. It's also possible, according to this next view, that she's not obligated to rak l'shmoa uku l'kameh, as it says later on in the Ramah. But a woman cannot be motzi man, but she can be motzi another woman. Okay, now in the footnotes, tekvav, you see that tekvav, there? And check, that refers to Shad Tzion. Let's see what he says. A woman can read for her fellow. Now let's go down three lines in the Shad Tzion, in the middle of the line, tekvav. Aval nashim rabot, ein ha'isha motzian, the zila behu milta, because it's not proper. Karban natanel b'shem atasor. See what it tells about what happened here. The Mishnah Berurah, who doesn't know what you know, because he didn't hear it from Aryeh Frimer. The truth of the matter is that he lived before the Kari. He lived just as the Kari. It was in the early 1800s, early 1900s that they started uncovering the Kari Geniza, and they were beginning to get manuscripts out. Okay, he didn't know about this Tosafot Rush, right? And so he's worried about the Karmel Tana. Says a woman, so he brings that women shouldn't read for the community of women. But later poskim say that they think the Mishnah Berurah erred. Okay, and because the Karmel Tana, the Rush clearly did not mean that. That's not what it doesn't mean. Now, part of the problem is that in the yeshiva world, the Mishnah Berurah is considered the Posek Acham. It's considered the final authority. But you should be aware that in this particular point, he clearly erred. He made a mistake, and many poskim say he made a mistake. I'll give you an example where it's brought up. If Tukhachinsky talks about when you have women, they blow shofar, okay? A man blows the shofar for the women who didn't hear. The man can't make the bracha for the woman because she's not obligated. But she can make the bracha for herself. Suppose there are 25 women, right? And when your husband, when Tuvia blows, what happens is the woman, one of the women, either they all make the bracha together, or one woman makes the bracha for all the other women. Says Rav Tukhachinsky, if I held like the Karban Netanel, one woman couldn't make the bracha for all the women. Why? It's improper, zila behu milta. Nevertheless, Rav Tukhachinsky goes in and says one woman can make it for a lot of women. See, Rav Tukhachinsky is not concerned about the Karban Netanel.
Okay, this is
quite
similar, making a
bracha
with the
Mosiah
women, and we didn't
hear time for Mila. If it's Zila Bhu Milton, Zila
Bhu Milton. No, I
don't. Excuse me, you don't think so, but he does think so. I can understand. You say this is, you know, this is a quick thing, and it's not, right? But the Tukhachinsky does, and it doesn't bother him. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says the same thing. That a woman, and he says, and he specifically deals with the Karban Netanel, and he says, Karban Netanel, that's okay. And and if you look at the tune in the back there of Yudha Herzl Henkin, you probably don't have time to go into it, he specifically says that Karban Netanel made a mistake. Okay, this is okay. In any case, okay? So, great, but you'll find many people say, but the Mishnah Berurah says.
Is that something we need to be concerned about, even if we say the Mishnah Berurah is wrong? the fact that the Mishnah Berurah says, is that important to us even though we might think that it's...
So let me put it this way. If there weren't many posting who say that they could read, I mean, as an individual, I don't go around pushing the Mishnah Berurah aside. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah, I mean, it's Superman. I mean, right? But if I have a lot of kryptonite, I can put it aside. And if Tosfos and Rosh and many other poskim, you don't like the analogy? but there are a lot of other poskim, you know, who have brought Shomkis who said it, like Shomkis Zalman Auerbach and, you know, the Henkin and the Felder and all, but I'll give you a whole list. Anybody who says, and I've given you a list here, right, my along of all the poskim who say women can have and women, they clearly put the Kama Nitana on the side. And there are others who don't talk about Megillah reading who also put the Kama Nitana, right, the Shomkis Zalman Auerbach. He clearly states that the Kama Nitana made an error. He doesn't say you wouldn't be doing Megillah reading, but he doesn't say why not. He was asked by me, directly, but somebody asked for me, and he says, I said the Kama Nitana is wrong, but I didn't say that women could have a Megillah reading. He doesn't say why. He didn't say Usher, he just didn't say, I didn't say it was Mutter. That's the language. He was waffling. He may not have said it because it was a little hot potato. He may not have said it because he was worried about another view we haven't gotten to yet. Okay? Let's see. Now let's deal with the next major threat to women's Megillah. Chet. Okay, before we get to Chet, you know, let's look at source. No. Let's turn the page and look at source number 16. Source number 16. First page, second side. Source number 16. Magen Avraham. What is the Magen Avraham? Magen Avraham says, "Ubemidrash ne'elam." This is the Kabbalistic writings, Zohar type of material. This is called the Midrash ne'elam anrut. And the Midrash ne'elam says, "Katuv de'lo tikra la'atzma." That a woman should not read even for herself. Rak tishma min hashem. She should only hear from men. Yeah. Okay. Now, Magen Avraham is one of the major pillars of Pesach in the Shulchan Aruch. Major pillars of Pesach. But, okay, and according to this, that would be a major problem because of, you know, she can't she read for a group of women. She can't even read for herself according to this source, the Kabbalistic source. Not only that, turn the page and look at the Mishnah Berurah. Chet, unfortunately, or fortunately, that's a value judgment. So it's Chet, Mishnah Berurah, and the Chet, what does he say? Im ha'isha kara, okay, that you should what? Let the Shema Megillah, that's what they mean. So on that same Mishnah Berurah says what? Va'ayim ben Magen Avraham, see the Magen Avraham, shemet sadeh, means he leans. The lo tikra la'atzma klal, that she should not read for herself at all, rak tishma mi'an nashim. She should only hear from men. The chol zeh b'yesh la min mish l'shmo. That's provided she hears from someone, or she has someone to hear from. Avon ein la min mish, ein la mish, she yikra lafenev, she doesn't have anybody to read for her. Tikra hi la'atzma b'migilak sheva. She should read for herself, she should not hesitate, she should go ahead and read for herself from a kosher Megillah. Now, we have two problems with this Mishnah Berurah. First of all, he quotes the Magen Avraham, and he quotes it sort of, you know, the Chachila, you should be mocking like the Magen Avraham. In the Shaar HaTzion, since the time is running out, and I want to get finishes tonight, in the Shaar HaTzion at the bottom, he really attacks him. He attacks him because, for very obvious reasons. What does the Mishnah Erchin say? Hakol sherem l'mikra megillah latu yeimai latu eimashim. So you mean to tell me, how does the Magen Avraham go ahead and quote some Kabbalistic source which specifically negates a Mishnah, an explicit Mishnah, that says women can read the Megillah? So you want to say like the Kama Nitana means they got to read for other women? Mela. But does any Rishon say that a woman can't read for another woman? Yeah. Who will
read for herself?
She's surely can read for herself, right? So how does the Magen Avraham bring it? Not only that, the Gra says, I looked in the Medrash Ne'elam Rut, doesn't say what the Magen Avraham says. Doesn't say at all. I've interpreted it totally differently. And Avad Yosef's son, Avad Yosef's son, in consultation with his father, discusses this, and he says, if anything, it's a chumra ba'alma, it's a stamma. You want to be worried about some mystical source, but that's not halacha. Nobody else says it. It's against all the Rishonim. And again, all those poskim who we're going to cite in a second, who say the woman can have a Megillah reading, also set aside this Magen Abraham. And for good reason. The rule is, even Rabbi Yosef Karo, who was a tremendous mystic, who we know had a Magid, he had used to have mystical appearance come to him in his dreams at night, who used to discuss halacha with him. Right? He himself says, where there's a contradiction between halacha and Kabbalah, you pass me like halacha. So how does the Magen Avraham go ahead and pass me with the Medrash Shalom? It's clear against the Mishnah. Nobody says it that way. But that's the second source. Okay? When women, they discuss in Megillah reading, there are two sources that are always quiet, they are always cited, the Korban Netanel and the Magen Avraham, and good for good reasons, both are set aside. Okay, now, we have a couple of, the Mishnah Berurah, so as far as those two sources are concerned, we see that the post can easily set those two problems aside. Now, what bracha do we make? We saw that in the Ramah, he says, Lishmoa Megillah. The Mishnah Berurah says, Lishmoa Mikra Megillah. And turn back to source number 15, the Pri Chadash says, when the Ramah says the Shmo Megillah, what does the Pri Chadash say? Endless smoke of the Vayim Eilu. In short 15, you cannot rely on the Ramah. Ela mevrachon al mikra, kamo anashim, the women should make the same bracha as men. Now, what's about the Pri Chadash? Pri Chadash says, the only Gemara bracha that we find in the Gemara is on Mikra Megillah. Where do they, because the logic is that there's a different bracha. Now, if you go very briefly, I don't want to give you all the sources, but the consensus now, if you look at Dr. Kuczynski, who is the source that most, for the Minhag Eretz Yisrael, he cites, based on the Ramah, that the woman should make the Shmoa Megillah. The Shmoa Megillah, like the Ramah says. However, a whole variety of other poskim disagree amongst them from all sectors. Rav Avadi Yosef, who's talking about for Ashkenazim, not for Sephardim. Rabbi Avadi Yosef Yechaved Da'at, and Rav Moshe Sturmbach, who was the vice president of the Eidah Haredis, who spends half of his time in South Africa and half of his time in Yerushalayim. A variety of other poskim, the Netta Gavriel, Rav Dov Eisenberg, Rav Chaim Sonnenfeld, who was the head of the Eidah Haredis in the 1920s, and many, many other poskim clearly state that women should make Amikra Megillah, that that's the bracha that women should make. And that should not change the matbeya that Chazal set up. Because the Shmo Megillah does not appear anywhere in Chazal, and that if you make the Shmo Megillah, you may not be fulfill your obligation. But if you say Amikra Megillah, which is the bracha that Chazal appears in the Gemara, you definitely fulfill your obligation according to everyone. Because after all, women hear Amikra Megillah when the man reads and are Yotza, even according to the view that they have a different obligation. Okay. Now, there are two more. There's one more issue that we have to deal with before we get to it. And that has to do with women and minyan from Mikra Megillah. And now this is a continuation we'll discuss that. Now, the question, as I pointed out last week, when it comes to reading the Megillah in a normal year, when the 14th falls out, let's say, in the middle of the week, and the 15th falls out in the middle of the week also, then, okay, reading of the Megillah with a minyan is preferable, right? Because the Pirsumin, he said, to publicize the miracle, but it's not absolutely necessary. For some reason, person can ask to stay home to take care of the kids, or somebody here is sick or something like that. You don't need a minyan. You can go ahead and read the Megillah even without. In fact, it's very common. It's very common that it certainly was mentioned in the time of the Achronim, that the men went to shul, and then they came out with a rate for the wives. The wives never even came to shul. There's some posts who want to say even if men have an obligation to read the minyan, women don't have an obligation to read the minyan. There's a different branch of views. However, the bracha harabit rivenu, which appears after the reading of Megillah, that's a communal bracha, that requires a minyan. And furthermore, the Ramah holds that if you read the Megillah shelo bizmana, not in its proper time. For example, one of the examples is when the 15th falls out of Shabbat, and you read the Megillah, and Yerushalayim, you read the Megillah on the 14th. See, in Chutz Laretz, we never had the problem. Because Purim never falls out of Shabbat, and in Chutz Laretz, everybody reads on the 14th. But in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim and some other cities read on the 15th, and the 15th can fall on Shabbat. Let's say when Purim falls out, the 14th falls on Friday. So you read it not in its proper time. And there, most poskim, not all, there's a large minority, very large minority, that says you don't need a minyan, because that's not called shelo bizman, because Chazal told you to read on the 14th. But the majority of poskim say, no, that's not in its proper time. And then you need a minyan. So in all these cases, like the Rabbit Rivenu, and when you read the Megillah and the Yerushalayim on the 14th, there's a question, do women count for a minyan or don't count for a minyan? Okay? Now, last week we discussed the criteria for counting for a minyan. We saw that there were three schools. One school maintained that if women are obligated equally with men, they count for a minyan. Okay? So right away, the second school held that what? The women never count for a minyan. And the third view maintained, it depends what the nature of the minyan is. If the purpose of the minyan is to publicize the miracle, Pishtu Minisa, then women count. If it's to create the obligation, right, then the women do not count. So, Mikra Megillah, okay, now when I raise, I have to count poskim. When I count poskim about whether women count for a minyan or not, we saw that half the poskim say that women are obligated equally with men, so they certainly count for a minyan. The other half of the poskim, another part of the post, the Yashinah, that even if they're not obligated equally with a man, like the Yashinah post, they still can count for a minyan. Why? Because of Pirsum Minisa. So when you ready count poskim, how many poskim say, can women count for minyan for Mikra Megillah? The answer is the majority of poskim. And in fact, I have here a list of people who actually discuss this issue at great length, and say that women count for a minyan from Mikra Megillah. Because they're obligated, and even if they're not obligated equally with men, right, but nevertheless, it is for Pirsum Minisa, and they can count. And yes, the majority, as I discussed last week, the women can count together with men. So if you have five men and five women, I read your mind right. Anyway, let's look at this list here. Some names should jump out at you, like, number five on the list, everybody knows, of Chaim Zonnenfeld, right? He was the head of the Haredis from Jew. Tzitz Pesach Frank, chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, good Jew. Next one, Chazon Ish, very good Jew. Shlai the list, the Blitzky is alive, is one of considered the major postgame in Yerushalayim. Zonnen Gosper, Badi Yosei, Valdenberg, El Yashiv, is not considered the postgame Hador. Right, all good Jews, of Yo Schwartz, of David Auerbach, for Yehuda Herzl Henkin, they had chief rabbis Joshua Katz and Mordechai Nagari, chief rabbis of Mala Adumim. Okay, all these are really first leaders. Okay, now there are some first leaders of dissent. To be honest, but the list is smaller. Shlomo Kluger, Reb Chaim Sofer, the Aruch Hashulchan, Michal Epstein, Reb Nasha Klein, Reb Moshe Feinstein, also. Heavyweights, right? But it's clearly that the consensus, the majority of poskim are that women do count. Yes, for a minyan.
Does anyone think that women can motzi men?
Svardi poskim. Bar Yosef says women can be monks in men. But the Ashkenazi post can say that. Okay. Turn the page. And here I have a list of all the poskim who have specifically stated the women, that a woman's Megillah reading. Now, they specifically stated that women can read the Megillah. Now, there are a lot of other poskim who say that the covenant panel is wrong. A lot of other poskim say the Magen Avraham is wrong. But if you ask him, can women have a Megillah reading, they won't answer your question. Because it's a hot potato, right? If you know how to put the pieces together, you know what the problems are, you know what the answer is. But these are 10 poskim who, right on, deal with the question of women's Megillah reading, and they say that women can read. Okay? Rav Tender, now, right? In October 1985, Rav Tender indicated that Rav Moshe Feinstein had no objection to such a reading. That was a shayla that was asked for this shul. It was asked by Chaim Spring in 1985. In fact, it doesn't say the whole thing. So Rav Moshe said to Rav Chaim Spring that he has to know when to ask a question, and he should not ask hot potatoes, especially when they're mutter.
No, but he against women counting in the minyan.
Yes.
So he would say they shouldn't say Harava Vivaino, or he would say that in Yerushalayim they shouldn't do it on the 15th, if it's a Shabbat, Sunday, it's Shabbat.
He holds that you don't need a minyan for Harava Vivaino. He is the one of the minority opinion. So it's true, women don't count for a minyan for Harava Vivaino, but then you don't need a minyan for Harava Vivaino. Okay, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's in that minority. Okay, so he does represent what?
Do you have to say Harava Vivaino?
That's part of the obligation. No, you don't have to. It's part of the bracha. Sure, it's a bracha that you make after reading the minyan.
Oh, it's an integral part of
Kriyas Megillah. It's an integral part. It's a bracha. There's a bracha, three bracha before. And one bracha.
Kriyas Megillah.
Does not include, no. No, you fulfilled your obligation without that bracha. Okay, but you lose out. Okay? Now. Number two is the chief rabbis of Baal HaDumim. Number three is of Yehuda Herzl Hagen. And I have the tshuva here, and you're happy to read it. You look at the last lines, which is what he says. He goes to the covenant panel, and he goes to. It's 10 o'clock, so we'll be finished in a second. The last lines here in source number 22. V'alacha l'maseh, the last page. V'alacha l'maseh, l'aniv dati. Nashim kohot ha-megillah l'otzi atzman bein l'achat. Bein l'tzibur nashim. Women can read it. U'bikavti etzel agon Rav Gedalia Felder. Shlita ketorato, he's considered the posek. He's passed away, he says. He was the posek in Toronto of all of Canada. He was considered the Rabbi Rashi of Canada, the Skin Duncan, said also. He's also a major editor. I quote him next time, Rabbi Daniel Felder, Rabbi David Cohen. Now I should point out here, look at what it says in the second line on top. It should be emphasized that these poskim are referring to a woman's Megillah reading exclusively, and no generalization can be made regarding women's services. One is a great example. Why? Because next one is Rabbi David Cohen and Rabbi David Feinstein. Okay, these two poskim are adamantly against women's services. We'll talk about why eventually, not next week. But he said, Rabbi David Feinstein. In fact, I'll tell you what happened. I went to Rabbi David Feinstein. If you look at it, I went to him twice, right? On 1991 and then again in 1995, because I was challenged in 1995. Doug Feinstein couldn't have said that. So the first time I went with my brother-in-law Noach Dir. The second time I went with Noach Dir, my brother Dovi. And I said, Dovi, you know, I asked you whether women can have a Megillah reading, but some people don't believe me that you said it was mutter. Would you repeat in front of these gentlemen that it's all right? He smiles at you. You tell them that I said it was okay. And he said, I said, why? Would you adamantly against women's services? He says, yes, because women's services are not obligated. That's an innovation and not obligated. Okay? We'll discuss that. But the Megillah reading, how can I ask them from doing that which they're obligated? Because I'm obligated. Why can't they do it? Okay. The Boston Rebbe. In 1990, my brother-in-law, dear, asked the Boston Rebbe to be permitted. But then I wrote him a letter prior to publication of my article, Women's Services. And he looked at what it says. His Gabbai wrote to me over the internet and said as follows. Since the Rebbe considered this issue in the early 1990s, the whole question of women's rights has become more complex. And the Rebbe would like to consider the wider issues further. Yes. Don't bug me, it's a hot potato. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Okay, I asked Rav Aaron Paskin for a kind of bravender on two occasions for my brother Dov, and I also asked him, again, this is one of the cute, I mentioned this issue. I met him at a wedding, a family wedding, he's shtickle mishpacha. And I said, exactly, Rav Aaron, can I quote you in the article, my article on wedding and women's services, that you possibly woman could have a woman's Megillah reading? So he laughed. I said, why are you laughing? He says, people quote me all the time. No one ever asked me permission. That's the experience. And he said, yes, you can quote me. But it's interesting. Look what it says there in the footnote. Nevertheless, Rav Lichtenstein does advise your Shamit women not to hold such a reading when the 15th of Adar falls on Shabbat, known as Purim Meshulash. But most authorities agree, says Rav Lichtenstein, that 10 women do consider women from Mikra Megillah, even on Purim Meshulash, and they'd be reading not at proper time, a minority dissent. Rav Lichtenstein maintains, therefore, that it is best to be stringent so as to be sure that one's obligation has been fulfilled. The point is to make it follow. In a regular year, suppose the minorities are right. In a regular year, even if you don't have a minion, you're Yotzei. But according to the minority opinion on Purim Meshulash, you're not Yotzei. If you needed a minion of men, and you weren't Yotzei, right? And you didn't have the minion, you weren't Yotzei. So while I says, you're right, the majority of them, all the women do count for minions. But there are large major leaguers who dissent. He says, you want to be Yotzei, make sure you go to a regular shul that year. And that's what he told the girls of Bravender, the women of Bravender, I apologize, not to be correct. The women of Bravenders, that they should make sure that they went to a regular shul and did not have the regular women's service. Rav Aaron explained that the Rav, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, preferred the women to be for the same reasons every year. As the Rav preferred the women do not have their own service in Mikra Megillah. The Rav was, when asked, was a, he said, if you push me against the wall, I'll tell you it's smutter, because that's the view of most posts. But he asked me what I advise women not to have a Mikra Megillah reading anytime. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik ruled that in those communities, such as in Israel, where there is already an established custom to have a second Megillah reading for women, is irrelevant whether the reader is male or female. Elsewhere, where such a minhag is not so common, I found that pretty surprising. He felt that in the States, it wasn't so common to have a... In fact, in the postgame, it's called the Tikkun HaGadol Shel Bnei Brak. That's what it's called, in the postgame. It seems it started in Eretz Israel. It seems it spread later to some places in the States, but it wasn't that common. I don't know. I remember growing up, we didn't have a second Megillah reading. Kingsley Jewish Center, many places in Brooklyn. I don't know if you... Because women sometimes skip the day. The custom of women who make a minyan for themselves from Mikra Megillah should be encouraged. It's a value safe. Okay? That's very interesting. Okay, and the Rabbi Yosef's son says, okay. Now, I should point out there are dissenting opinions, clearly. And the chief rabbis of Israel. The Mordechai Leo and Rav Shapira Menashe Klein. But I want you to see what the Ashkenazi chief rabbi writes. Look at the second paragraph. Former chief Ashkenazi chief rabbi, Avram Kaina Shapiro, is quoted by his assistant, Rabbi Zalman Kleitner, in a letter distributed to a group called the Women of Efrat Rachdin of Halacha. It's a very interesting point. There was, when the Rav Riskin,
it's the most beautiful women's language. It's unbelievable.
That's irrelevant to the conversation.
It's still beautiful.
Yes.
No.
Anyway, when Rav Riskin instituted the Megillah reading, there was a group of women who were very upset, and they called themselves the women of Efrat for the Akhtud of Halacha, and they ran to the chief rabbinate, and they said, look what's going on, okay? And the Rav Shapiro wrote as follows, halakhically a woman can read for other women. Nevertheless, one should not change the prevalent custom, which has followed the more stringent ruling of the Mishnah Berurah. Really, the halakha that can have a Megillah reading. But it's an innovation, you shouldn't do it. I did just mention this aside, a little bit of bragging. As a result of this institution, the chief rabbi really came down hard on Rabbi Riskin. As a result of this, they were looking for an excuse because he had started the Tohanot Rabboniot program, And this was another way of attacking him. It wasn't so politically correct attacking the Mikra Rabbanim. That only goes to politics, but they did attack him on the Mikra Megillah. He came, I was on sabbatical. This was 1990, and I was on sabbatical in Cleveland. And Rabbi Riskin says, calls me in from New York, and he says, Firmer, I'm coming to Cleveland. What do you know about women's Megillah reading? I said, how many sources do you want? And I met him somewhere in Beechwood, and I gave him a list of sources. And Rabbi Riskin was very, very pleased. He says, I owe you one. That was it. We've had a very good relationship ever since. Anyway, that's the story. Okay, we'll meet again next week, and next week we'll talk about women in Kaddish.